mountains and drink that mountain air. But others are not suited to stay for long up there. Seems I've seen more valleys lately in my pilgrim way. The sun is often hiding and the clouds are often gray. Oh, I've not seen the sunset from the mountaintop in years. And I've not seen the stars shine from up where it's bright and clear. But I have never lost my faith in sunshine and in stars. I know that mountaintop cannot be far. So keep on climbing, pilgrim, and don't give way to fear. On the mountain or the valley, the Lord is always near. And He knows every step you take. He'll never lose your way. The path He puts your feet upon leads to the cloudless day. Sometimes we see the journey and so forget the end. But if we keep on holding to the hand of God, our friend, one day the clouds will break apart and suddenly we'll see the mountaintop is right beneath our feet. Oh, I've not seen the sunset from the mountaintop in years. And I've not seen the stars shine from up where it's bright and clear. But I have never lost my faith in sunshine and in stars. I know that mountaintop cannot be far. I know that mountaintop cannot be far.
All right, thank you for that. Let's stand briefly one more time. We're going to read one verse this morning. You say, oh, is this going to be like the Christmas and the Christmas Eve messages, 15 minutes? No, thank you. It's not going to be. Okay, won't be long. I don't believe you have to be long to be effective. Someone said to be effective, you don't have to be eternal. Amen. I do want to read one verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13. Kind of the verse we've been using this little mini-series, which we are finishing this morning. I did want to finish this these first couple weeks into this year before we focus a little bit on our new theme. And 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 13. Why don't you get there? We'll do something we don't. We're going to read this together. Okay? In unison. In English, Raul. So you can just listen, buddy. 1 Corinthians 13, 13. Ready? And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you as we've looked at love over the next few weeks. I pray you'd help us as we kind of switch gears with it, Lord, and direct it towards you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. By the way, I do want to say, you know, you do need to, one thing, life is about seasons. And we just came through the holiday season, and sometimes if you're not careful, you get so holidayed out, and it's kind of tough to get started the new year. And maybe you bring some, you're trying to start good habits, but if you're not careful, you bring some bad habits in with you. And so let's just get right back at it, serving God, getting in our Bibles, doing the things we're supposed to be doing. And I encourage you to make this year, honestly, you ought to always look at every year like, I want to be better this year than I was last year. Now, for some of you, Jerry, that won't be hard. Just kidding. But we ought to just, you know, I want to, whatever area of life it is, whatever role you have, you know, husband, wife, you can't be both. Husband, wife, father, mother, you name it. Sunday school teacher, you look at your ministry. But you ought to want to be better. And then spiritually speaking, make sure you're faithful. And I hope you're on that track to spend time with God. And if you got off track a little bit, don't quit. Just get right back up. We are finishing our series on the big three, faith, hope, and charity. The first few weeks we looked at faith and hope. We spent much of our time looking at charity, love. Because as we read in our verse, the greatest of these is charity, which is love. We mention so often we don't understand what love is. We looked over the last few weeks, if we've looked through this whole chapter about the fact that, you know, if we do anything without love, it's worthless. It makes us really not worthless in a sense, but what we're doing worthless, and nothing comes of it. We've got to have the right motivation. The right motivation is love. And then last week we looked briefly at what how do we make an impact with love? Love comes down to our actions. You see love in the things you do each and every day towards other. We've talked about how we don't understand love. Now we want to look at our love for God. That's really the big one. On God's list, and you say, well, we mentioned this verse a lot. You know why we mentioned this verse a lot? Because it's the big one. Okay, what's the greatest command in the Bible? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Of course, the second commandment is love thy neighbor as thyself. Really, we spent time on that the last few weeks. But if we don't have this one right, then I don't think we're going to get the other one right. Loving God is a natural response for us because of his love for us. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. I don't think we really understand what love for God is. I don't do much social media. I do Instagram. Sometimes you look at people's pictures and they have their little, at the top, they mention what's important to them. I get a little tired of seeing people post and proclaim their love for God, and their pictures have nothing to do with God. Fact of the matter, their pictures are the opposite of love for God. You know why? Because we don't understand what love for God is. It's not some mushy feeling. It's not just some word that we say. It has to be seen in the everyday actions of our life. That's like me proclaiming my love for my wife, you know, on my Instagram post. You know, I'm Pac Baptist, Pacific Baptist, that's short. Not like Pac-Man, okay? And you look, if I had Pac Baptist and my little, and I don't even have a little moniker. I am what I am. That'd be a good one. I am what I am. But yeah, I put on there, loving husband of the most wonderful woman in the world, Alma Myers. And then the first picture I post is a picture of me with my arm around some other woman. Would you be okay with that? She says, yeah, that'd be her problem, amen? You say, that's ridiculous. But a lot of us do that in our lives. And I just think we don't understand what love for God is. Love for God is all-encompassing. We proclaim our love for God and the importance of him in our life, but yet we're unfaithful to church, we struggle to read our Bibles, and we never, in his name, reach out and do something for somebody else. I'm tired of these celebrities. You know, and I don't watch a lot of this stuff. If I hear anybody, it's usually an athlete. First and foremost, I want to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, okay, if they mean that, and some of them do, but usually the next thing that comes out of their mouth is ridiculous. And it has nothing to do with their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm saying we need to really understand what love for God really is. Shouldn't it be deeper than some meaningless mention on our social media? Shouldn't it be something a little bit more than a poster we hang on a wall? Shouldn't it be something a little bit deeper in our soul? As we've looked at these 1 Corinthians on several occasions, we see that love is the most important, but we need to understand what our love for God really means. And so this morning, in the few minutes we have, I want us to look at several verses in the Bible that talk about different types of love for God. Now, some of these steps we work through as our love grows. How many of you have been married to the same person for 20 years or more? Raise your hand, okay? 20 years or more, raise your hand. Put your hand down, or you can put your hands down. I'm not telling what you do, I was just asking. If you have been married for that long and you have a good marriage, you could very easily get up and testify that the love you have for each other now is different for the love you had for each other when you first got married, but it's deeper. It's more committed. And you've grown through stages. That happens in our love for God. So let me give you, flip over, you're going to flip over to several verses this morning. Flip over to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. We'll look at verse 4 and 5. The first kind of love I want us to look at is what I call a connected love. A connected love. Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. It says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Now, he's getting on this church because of something. He says, because thou hast left thy what? First love. Now, their issue was they left that first love. The point I'm making is there is a first love. When you first got saved, when you first met God, when you first met Christ, now you are connected to Him. Now you are saved. Now you can really know Him. And if you started going forward for God, there was that first love that you had. Everything was fresh. Everything was new. You are now connected to Him. That is called first love. By the way, let me say this. For some of you that grow up in Christian homes, it's easy for you not to get any love for God at all because everything seems so natural to you. Everything is just, I've grown up that way. But let me just tell you something. You need to have that kind of love for God. You need to never forget your salvation. But this is a honeymoon kind of love. Now, again, I don't do a lot of social media, and I don't even look at my Instagram very often, but I'll look at it every now and then. And, you know, I see Joy and Chris Ayala. You know, he's posting a picture of a meal that his wonderful wife just made for him. Now, he never mentioned, Brother Pineda, how it tasted. But you know how that is. That, for man, it's all new. She's making dinner for me. Don't get used to it, because in 2 years it'll be Taco Bell, amen? Just kidding. But that's that new love. And, oh, here's my husband, and he does these things for me, and everything. So, honeymoon. That's good. Let me just say this, though. Don't, by the way, every kind of love affair still needs that honeymoon kind of love. Right? But, you know, you've been married for a while, and people look at you like, really, you're still in love? What's up with that? You have a date night? My wife and I went out a couple weeks before Christmas, and so we were going to go to Maggiano's, and I didn't want to, by the way, when I heard that word Maggiano's, I felt something. So I didn't want to wait in line because it's always crowded, so I got reservations. And under the reservations, it said, how would you like to have flowers at the table waiting for your wife? And sometimes, I don't do it enough. I'll be honest, I'm not a good guy, but I don't do it enough. But I thought, you know what? I'm going to get her some flowers. We're going to make this a good night. And so I ordered the flowers, I did realize later on how much they cost. Why in the world you ladies like dead vegetation? I never will understand it. So we went to Maggiano's there, you know, that night, and it's like, oh, your table's waiting for you. And we go over there, and there's flowers on the table. It's like, got some brownie points today. And, you know, it just sat there. And it's funny, though. The waitress came and said, oh, the flowers. What are you celebrating tonight? And we're like, it's date night. They're like, no anniversary? No. The manager came by. Hey, I see the flowers. What are you celebrating tonight? I'm like, it's date night. They're like, wow. Like, I can't do that unless it's her anniversary. By the way, what's interesting, her anniversary is the same as mine. I never get flowers. You say, now, Brother Myers, do you always buy your wife flowers when you go out? No. Flowers look silly at Burger King. Well, I'll say this. Every now and then, I try to do something to say, we're not in the honeymoon phase, but I'm still all in. Why don't we be like that with God? We got to have that love for God. Now, again, my wife and I aren't in the honeymoon phase. We're going up. We're coming up on 32 years. We got married when we were 10. We did get married young, I will say that. But you know what? Have a little bit of that. Maybe that's a connected love. What happens sometimes, we lose that. Think about it. You know, we first started reading our Bible. That's exciting. We first started going to church. It's like we couldn't wait to get here. That's unfortunate for us, by the way. now it's like if you get here on time, we're going to do 27 flips. You know, if we can get you in Sunday school, we're going to speak in an unknown language. I'm not trying to be mean this morning. But I'm just saying, sometimes we get used to these things we used to be excited about. Boy, we started serving in the church, and we thought, what a wonderful thing it is to be able to do something for God. Have we lost that? We stray from that first love. You know, when you first got married, the wife goes to the grocery store, and she comes back. It's like, oh, honey, let me go get the groceries for you. You sit down. I'll carry them in. Now we lay on the couch, and we're like, hey, when you're done, make sure you close the door. Connected love. You may not always have that first love feeling, but boy, we need to get back to it, don't we? Yes. Turn over to Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. It's a verse I quoted earlier. So there's a connected love. But secondly, as you're turning there, we need to have a committed love. Committed. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 says, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Now, it's kind of weird. Commanded love, committed love is commanded. God commands us to love our wives. He tells us, he commands us to love him. But I want you to notice the scope here. It's the word all. All. It's mentioned three times, and it literally means this in the Greek. All. Everything. God does not want us to be in this thing half-heartedly. Once you get past that honeymoon phase, and again, like I said, don't get completely past it. But once you get past that, there needs to be a rock solid commitment to each other if you're married, just like there needs to be a rock solid commitment to God. We mentioned that when the Bible, you first started reading it, man, it was fresh, it was exciting every day. Church was exciting every day. Serving was exciting every day. Soul winning was exciting. Whenever I got the opportunity, man, we're fired up about it. But sometimes we're not fired up about it. But we should still read our Bible. Amen. Now, that shouldn't be every day, but sometimes it is. You should still come to church. So I got up this morning, Brother Myers, and I wasn't feeling it. Brother, I never feel it. Got to get resurrected first. but you'd come because I'm supposed. And once you get here, guess what? You'll feel it. Once you crack that Bible open, you start getting into it, you'll feel it. Tuesday night, you know, man, I'm tired. I just really don't want to come out. I understand, and I appreciate you when you come. But once you get out here and you get to talk to somebody, invite, you feel it. But we do it sometimes because we get past that feeling stage to where we're in the committed stage. Nothing is going to come between you and your God. That's why God, you know, he kind of compares going away from him spiritually to adultery. It's like we're leaving him for somebody else. God wants us to be 100% committed to him. Not just some catchphrase. We like catchphrases, don't we? I just have a passion for Jesus. What does that mean? And if you have a passion for Jesus, I'm glad you do. And I don't mind if you do. But can you explain what that means, or is it just something you heard? You know, honk if you love Jesus. I like Brother Ross? He said tithe if you love Jesus. Okay, any idiot can honk. By the way, you ever been to San Francisco? You go to San Francisco, those people honk all the time. You drive downtown, it's like, really? So I'm just like, I got to honk too, you know? Car cuts in front, honk. Like, I'm a local now, okay? I'm not a tourist. But it's like, listen, you know, all these little catch, Jesus is my co-pilot. Why don't you get out of the seat and let him drive? We just, it's more than bumper sticker. I got a fish on my car. Well, that could just mean you like fishing. Okay? It's got to move past that. To where there's a rock solid, non-emotion based love for God. Are you committed? Committed to our spouse? Are we committed to God? Number three, turn to John chapter 15. There needs to be a continuing love. A continuing love. John chapter 15. Verse number 9. And then when you're there, stay there because the next one's also going to have that same chapter. John chapter 15 and verse 9. He says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Keep going. Don't stop. It's not something you start up and then next thing you know, you're not involved with it anymore. By the way, if love's a commitment, you'll be able to continue in love. You know, I fell out of love. I just don't love it. No, you've decided not to love. And people won't admit it, that they quit loving God, but their actions may speak to that. There are too many what we call, and you've heard it before, used to people. I used to go to church. Why'd you stop? I used to read my Bible. You can still read it. I used to even give to the church. Plates are still passed. I used to drive a bus, or I used to work in the nursery. I used to sing in the choir. I used to be an usher. I used to this, whatever it is. If we love God, it'll be seen in everything we do, and we'll be faithful to it. Listen, your Christianity isn't measured in days, hours, months, weeks. It's measured not even in years. It's measured in decades. Right. If you want to see the blessings of being a Christian in your life, you've got to be faithful and you've got to stick it out and just be there. Because the longer you're in it, the more you see the fruit from it. In our Sunday school class, we just taught our last few lessons were on you reap what you sow. By the way, if you throw a seed into the ground, you can't come out in the morning and you're going to reap anything. It's not going to happen. It takes time. The longer you sow, the longer you work at it, the more fruit you see. The longer you're a Christian, the longer you stay faithful, the longer you continue in the love of God, the more you are going to be blessed. I used to do all this. The best way to confirm in your life that you love God is to be a dynamic Christian 10 years from now. Many Christians are like the people You know, John Castle told me about, said in prison when guys would get out, any magazine or books that they weren't going to use anymore, as they left, they could, when they were leaving, they could leave them there for the other inmates. If I remember correctly, John, and if I don't correct me, I don't want to feel bad. But if I remember correctly, you said all these guys, you know, they're in jail and I need God. They get their Bibles. Once they're getting out, they just walk by and I don't need the Bible anymore. Boy, let's not be like that. We need God and we need him all the time. You go to I like to read, and I'll go to bookstores, and sometimes if we're somewhere, you know, my wife sometimes go to a used store. I don't call all the time because it's irritating. But sometimes if I'm there, I'll look at the book section. You'll always find a selection of Christian books at any used bookstore. You know why? Those are people that used to love God, and they were reading their books, and they were a big deal to them. But some of them, they're like, you know, I'm not doing that anymore. Let me cleanse my house of this stuff. I don't need it. Let's not be like that. Let's continue to follow God. Next, we need to have a compliant love. Look at John 15 again, but go down a few verses. Not verse 9, but look at verse 15. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Look at, flip over to 1 John for me, if you will. 1 John, chapter number 5. Jesus is saying, if you really love me, the fruit of it or the proof of it will be in your obedience to what I say. 1 John chapter 5, verse 2 and 3. He says, by this, 1 John chapter 5, verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and what? Keep his commandments. For this is the love of God. I get so irritated. So many church talk. We're just into the love of God. That's all we, our church is just, there's a church by my house. I drive by it all the time as I'm going home. The wave of God's love. Okay, first of all, what does that mean? Are they going surfing? Okay. Well, you want the wave of God's love? This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. They don't like that part. Well, bro, we're just loving Jesus, man. We're chilling. We're chilling for God. Well, are you doing what he says? You can chill. You can do all, you can go surfing. You can ride the wave of what? Do you do what he says? Well, that's hard, and we're not trying to be mean. Okay, read the rest of the verse. And his commandments are not grievous. They're best for us. See, a love for God always boils down to doing what he says. Like my wife jokingly said one time, she said, you know, we would never have any disagreements if you just always did what I said. Okay? I'm like, that's a thought, but it goes both ways. She was joking, though. I think she was. No, because she says it all the time. Just kidding. You know what? But a lot of our problems with God would go away if we just... just tried to do what he said. Yep. See, it's because Satan gives us a view that doing what God says keeps us from things. Actually, doing what God says opens up a world of things to you. Amen. To the extent that you obey God is to the extent that you really love him. I could say this if I was being mean, but I don't want to be mean. If you're not committed to obeying God, then you really are not committed to loving him. Now, I'm not going to say that this morning because I'm trying to be nice. But if I wasn't trying to be nice, I'd say that. He has our best intentions in his mind. The only way God can get us from where we are to the life he wants us to have, to being where he wants us to be and doing what he has for us to do, the only path to get us there is obedience. That's it. And so we follow the path, and then we start following that which is false. You know, you're following a wrong leader. A couple years ago, we were going, I mentioned it, we were on vacation, we went to this church, it was in the cornfield. It was a great church right outside the city. But we were following the GPS, and the GPS told me to go on this road, and I went on this road about a mile, and then the road just came to an abrupt dead end. Now, I found out later from my mother-in-law that they had had a bunch of rain, and that the side of the hill had caved in and went down there and messed up the road, so they put in a new road. My GPS didn't know about the new road. And I'm following this road, and I didn't get to where I wanted to go. We do that so often. We don't follow God, so we don't obey him, so we don't get to where he wants us to be. We follow something else, and we wonder when we get there why we're not fulfilled, why we have no joy, because we're not following the path that he's laid down. And that path is lined with commitment. We can blame all kinds of things when we quit on God. Well, the church this or the church that. It has nothing to do with the church. It has everything to do with our relationship with God. The law. I used to feel bad. Sometimes people would leave and they blame things on the church. And I'm like, man, what did we do wrong? And then I kind of started getting it. Like, it has nothing to do with the church. It has nothing to do with someone in the church. It has everything to do with just really a lack of commitment to God sometimes. Because if it was our church, they would go find another church of like faith and serve. But if we're honest, sometimes we're just looking for an out. Let's do what he says. Remember the verse in Luke? And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? By the way, you hear some of you that are newer, you hear this stuff and say, man, other churches, I don't hear this kind of stuff. Where are you getting it from? I didn't say anything. This is God speaking, and this is Jesus speaking. I just quoted it to you. I just read it to you. It's not as bad as some of you think it is. When I walked into church, I thought, and I saw the people, I thought, I ain't doing that. I ain't doing that stuff. It was a little bit different than what I was living. But as I just started growing in my faith and following the Lord, it wasn't what I thought it was. It was good. Stay in 1 John and go back to chapter 4, please. What else does he want us? He wants us to have compassionate love. Compassionate love. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 21 says, and this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. You're like, I knew there was a catch. Let me quote this to you. 1 Thessalonians 4:9. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Paul said, I don't even need to talk to you about that because you are already taught. You've been already taught that you're supposed to love one another. He said, I thought we were talking about love today. Love for God. I know, but love for God always shows forth itself in love for others. We cannot not love each other and say we still love God. Now, does that mean we're always excited about each other? No, because sometimes we can be irritating. How many of you know somebody that's irritating? How many of you, you're the one that's irritating? Okay, anybody? You? Good, thanks. I'll stay away from you. Sometimes there are certain people your personality meshes with better than others, right? Okay, that doesn't mean that person's bad and you're good, because their personality doesn't mesh with yours. But you know what? We can all love one another. So often at church, somebody has maybe a little disagreement or maybe a little, not even that, or just they don't understand each other. And as Christian brother, they should just talk about, hey, man, I'm sorry. But we let that fester. Say, why should we get along with one another? Because we love God. Come on. You know what every parent wants? They want their siblings, they want their children to get along with one another. That pleases their parents. Doesn't please parents when they're, now occasionally it is what it is. We have 7 of them and they don't get along sometimes. That's called reality. But you know what? At the end of the day, they love each other. Shouldn't that be how it is? I hope when God looks at Pacific Baptist Church, he says, you know, there's a church that loves me and they're trying to love each other. Trying to care about each other outside of themselves. And if you do it for no other reason, do it for the love of God. For the love of God. Compassionate love. When someone comes in, I hope that we all, how are you doing today? Anything we can do for you? Get to know one another. Someone comes to our church 1, 2, 3 weeks, we ought to start to get to know them. Know their name. Okay, our brothers and sisters, we know if they have a need, you know what, I'll pray for you. And then pray for him. Maybe shoot him a text, hey, I prayed for you today. Compassionate love, loving one another because of our love for God. Then turn back to Revelation. We'll finish it up here. If we're the last two I want to mention briefly here are two when our love really starts to go south. Sometimes we get a complacent love. Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. We read verse 4 earlier. And he says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Now, we said there was a first love, but now they left that first love. Look at verse 5. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works. He says, listen, get back to doing what you're supposed to be doing. So then how did they leave their first love? They quit doing what they were supposed to be doing. That's complacency. See, the key to be a continuing lover of God, as we mentioned earlier, is let's not get complacent with what's going on in our life now. Okay? Maybe I just work it up, but you know, every year, Bible reading schedule, let's get in this thing, let's read our Bibles. It's like, I know you're supposed to say that, but I do it. Because I don't want to get complacent. I don't want to get to the, you know, hey, you can enjoy church. Say, I'm not enjoying church. Let me ask you a question. Are you paying attention? Do you sing the songs, or is that part of the service just something you get through? Okay? When I came into church, I was rock and roll was my thing. And I'm like, that stuff up there is not what I like. I don't like it at all. And I'm like, I'm going to get rid of my music because I know it's garbage. We could park there for a little bit. We won't. The stuff it was promoting was anti-God, like most all secular music. But I'm like, you know, I can't buy into the church music, so here's what I'm going to do. I just want to listen to any music. I don't need music. But boys, I got into church and we started singing the hymns. Started listening to the specials. I'm like, I like that stuff. That's good stuff. Thinking about the words. Maybe you don't enjoy church because you've gotten complacent. I've sung that song 100 times. I've probably singing them more. But you know what? When I look at the words, by the way, that's why we don't have worship teams and all that garbage and the contemporary stuff. But I'll tell you one reason we don't too. I don't want to hear somebody up here bebopping. Okay, let me lead you in worship and I'm I want to hear all of us singing. There's something about hearing the church singing together. It's not about Brother Pineda with the ponytail being a cool cat and listening to me sing and Jesus is cool. I don't even know if he could grow. He can't grow a beard. I mean, he struggles with that. But, you know, look, it's about us singing together to the Lord. The Lord wants to hear all of us sing. There's something about that. Said, that doesn't thrill me. Maybe you quit doing it because you're looking at your phone during it. I don't know what you're doing. That's one. I don't think it's wrong for you to have your Bible on your phone or your iPad or whatever. I read my Bible on my iPad. I haven't read my paper. I haven't read this Bible in years. See, I'm going to quote you on that. Whatever. But I'll tell you what. And they're always like, I when I teach in the college, I use my iPad for the notes. I just don't do it for here because I'm afraid that the iPad's going to die or something. All right. But one reason I prefer for us to have a Bible in church isn't because it's wrong for you to look at it on your phone, but other things happen on your phone. Right? Did the Rams lose again? Yeah, they lost. Don't look. Did Jeff Goff throw an interception? He always does. Don't you have to check on that. Are the Raider fans going back to jail? The season's over? Yes, they are. Parole's done. Okay, all that stuff. Okay, by the way, I was rooting for the Raiders to win yesterday. You say, my faith is shaken. What's next? I'm going to McDonald's for lunch. Okay. But we get so complacent. When you get complacent, you're heading down. Don't let it get old. Now, again, it's not the new love, but let's not be complacent. Let's not leave it. The average church member lasts in a church 7 years. Yeah, marriage. I think marriage beat church by 6 months. It's a little under 8 years. We get complacent. Okay, let's not get complacent with God. And then the last thing is this, and I'll read the verse to you. If we're not careful, that complacent love is going to lead to this, cold love. Matthew 24:12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. What is one of the laws of thermodynamics? Everything goes from order to disorder. Okay, I don't know the one about energy, but one is energy goes from here and it's dissipating. If we allow our love to get complacent, eventually it's going to get cold and we're done. Every couple whose marriage has broken apart over just the course of life, they've allowed things to come into that marriage that have caused it, the love to become cold. Okay? I say that every husband needs a girlfriend. My wife hasn't approved anybody on the list yet, so I don't have one. Okay? But that girlfriend ought to be his wife. Oh, we're married. We don't need that cold. We don't need couples retreat. That was months ago. We're not getting on you for that. But cold. If you could go and you just didn't want to, cold. We got to constantly do things to keep that fire burning. The same is true with God. We don't want to be complacent. How's your love for God this morning? Where are you on the pinnacle there? God, you say, why is it such a big deal? Because it's the number one command. It's like, you know, I worked somewhere one time and I went in there, had a sign. It had two rules. Number one, the boss is always right. Rule number two, if the boss is wrong, see rule number one. Right? I'm going to post that. I post that in our break room. We don't have a break room. Okay? The big rule, not rule, the big command is love God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. God wants us to love him. And there's no way we're going to love each other. As we mentioned the other weeks, there's no way we're going to love our community and make a difference if our love for God is not right.
Come on, that's good.
Let's work on it. Let's all stand this morning, please.